Welcome to Tip Top, growing up your business with Metronomics. We will be talking with business thought leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and business team coaches who have all taken the journey to grow up their businesses to their tip top. We'll be sharing strategies, systems, and stories on how you can grow up your company at the speed you want. If you are searching for your path to the tip top and feel your time is running out, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Shannon Susco. All right. Well, welcome everyone and welcome Robert Haydock. Full disclosure, Robert has and I have worked together for, I don't actually know how many years, but we met, you know, quite a while ago. Robert's CEO at AML Oceanographic and has been at AML. We just chatted about this for 20 years. Yeah. And, you know, Robert's lost track, which you do when you're having fun and growing up a company. But Robert, maybe kick us off and give us a little bit of your background, your education, and the things you did before you joined AML and as an owner and as a director of sales, I think is where you started.
Yeah. So I have a business degree from a small university back in Ontario by the name of Wilfrid Laurier. I was always really drawn to the idea of international business and international marketing. That was kind of the exciting part for me, was this idea of engaging with other cultures and working with people from abroad. So that was always kind of the path in business that I wanted to take, sales and marketing, international sales and marketing. Did quite a bit of stuff in Latin America in the early days, a little bit of stuff in Europe for a Vancouver-based software company, and then kind of jumped to AML Oceanographic.
Yeah, and you started out working as director of sales and marketing for 4 years. Yep. And then I think you bought the company.
Yeah, so there was a few steps in between, but I remember joining AML under the condition that I would be the previous owner's kind of exit path. He was already a little bit older than I am now, kind of looking towards how he might extract himself from the organization, and wanted to hire in a leader. He needed sales and marketing. So the idea was I would come in sales and marketing, but that would grow over time. And so I went from sales and marketing to general manager to president. And then he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, very, very tight period of time. He went from being fully healthy to he was gone in about 8 months.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the backstory there was all of my agreements with him were verbal. Nothing was documented.
Wow, yeah.
And inspiring and impressive the way that he pushed to make sure that everything that he had talked about with me came to being through his wife and his family. And wow, a lot of honor in that, man.
To take care of
me, to have me on the radar in his last day when there was so much else going on.
That gives me goosebumps. And that's a great, you know, because the company's been around since 1976. Is that right? So amazing. Amazing carry on and legacy. So, you know, you get through that part. You are now the owner of AML.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, so because all of this happened very, very quickly, it was always sort of, you know, this will happen one day and then boom, everything happened in about 9 months. I was actually committed or scheduled to taking a year off and taking my kids out of school for a year and traveling with them. And he and I, his name was Danford, he and I had organized the idea that I would actually kind of work for AML while abroad. We did a little bit of traveling, but kind of drumming up business and all that kind of stuff. So all of this was planned and then kind of thrown up because suddenly I owned the company and I was still committed to, you know, taking my kids out of school and going away for a year.
Right, right.
I remember going to an organization that we're both part of called Ace Tech, and it was my first venture into Ace Tech. And the idea was bring your business problem, and the group of CEOs will give you advice and ideas. And my business problem was, I've just bought a company and I'm going away for a year. And the reaction was just that. They laughed at me and said, "You are so far out in left field, you don't even know what you're doing. This is stupid." And I was kind of like, yeah, you know, it may be stupid. Maybe it's not the right thing to do, but damn it, I'm going to do it anyway. And so the first year was like taking the kids out of school, trying to set up systems whereby, you know, I could monitor what was going on and kind of check in. I had a guy that I really trusted who kind of sort of became day-to-day manager. And we kind of muddled through, lost all momentum for sure, right? I mean,
in fact,
recognized that certainly there was no movement forward, and maybe there was probably some movement backwards. But do I regret it? Not at all. It was a year with an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old and my wife, and you don't get those days back.
No.
So did all that, came back and kind of recognized, okay, now we've got to do something with this. I think that was right around the whole 2009, 2008, 2009, 2010 recession, kind of difficult economic times. Sort of came back and it was like, okay, we've got to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
I think I kind of realized that I didn't know what to do or how to do. And that's when I started to kind of reach out and begin to explore for what are other people doing and where can I get help? And who knows how to do this stuff because I haven't done it before.
Yeah.
It might have taken me a year and a half or 2 years to kind of realize that these were all solved problems and that I didn't need to reinvent the wheel. So that probably took a little bit of time, but got to a place where it was like, hey, I need a coach. I need help. I need somebody who's been around the block before.
Yeah. And, you know, what did that look like for you? Because there's so many resources out there. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's books, there's networking groups, there's online. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's actually quite overwhelming. And most people go to books, and I know you're a ferocious reader, right? Well, we connect there for sure. But what did you have, you know, explain how you sort of figured out, okay, what should be my next step?
Yeah. So I definitely was reading lots. I can remember Traction, for example, was one of the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up a few of your books.
Yep.
And I think I knew in the back of my head, I don't know if this was sort of explicit knowledge or implicit knowledge, I knew I needed to be coached. And I knew that connection or that it had to be more than just a knowledge transfer relationship, that there had to be some kind of connection there, somebody that I would that I would kind of like and enjoy and kind of felt that I would have fun with. Because it's a journey, right? It's an intense journey. And if it's not, I don't know if that's not there, then what are we doing here? Right.
And,
and again, I've mentioned already the organization ACETEC. I'd been guided towards this organization, began to go to a series of seminars put on by ACETEC. One of them was delivered by you.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, here's somebody who knows her shit and somebody that, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
Somebody who knows your shit and something that I think I would get along with like a house on fire. And I remember kind of putting those two pieces together as I think you might have been lecturing on something and kind of going, oh yeah, here's somebody I think that I could really learn from.
Yeah. And you know, I think back to, you know, ACETEC, because you know, I'm a grown up. I grew up and still growing up.
Yeah.
You know, as a CEO and a coach and, you know, student of strategy and all of that, it's an organization that, again, brought together, you know, what they called tech CEOs to learn. And we know we've learned past that, right? So it wasn't, I want to know a little bit more about, you know, how there was your learning, your growth, like personal, there's company. And then, you know, what did you think about, you know, the team? Right. And to bring the team along.
Yeah. So it's that standard dilemma, right? Where the CEO goes away, they learn a whole bunch and they come back and they just dump on their teams. Right.
Like, yeah.
Here's everything I've learned. Boom. Let's do this. And you try that a couple of times, like everybody else does. And you kind of go, that doesn't really seem to be generating any traction or moving us forward.
No. Yeah.
You were always very big on hey, we've got to bring everybody along for the journey. This is all about people. This is all about your learning. This is about your team's learning. And so you kind of cycle through that a couple of times and realize that you need You know, this is all of this, just about every aspect of it, even the soft human stuff is all about systems. It's all about repeatable, scalable systems. Yeah. And so if you build a repeatable, scalable system for the CEO to learn, you got to recognize that it's equally important, probably even more important, to have scalable systems for the leadership team and for the employees to learn just as quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that gets forgotten, right? Yeah. That gets forgotten all along the way. And, you know, I was famous for that as well, you know, going off learning the latest, greatest thing or reading a book and then bringing it in, trying to explain it to my team. And they're like, yeah, flavor of the month. Yeah. Like, I wonder what will be next month.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, if you think about, so, you know, you read some books, you actually went, like, you know, Ace Tech was great, you know, the base out of Vancouver, bringing in, you know, lots of different speakers. I know, you know, I personally had some hand in bringing some of those speakers. I know you have. Yeah. I know we have lots of history at Ace Tech. We're learners for sure. And then, you know, bringing our teams to those. But then, you know, you didn't go to a coach right off the bat, right? You learned a lot.
Yeah.
And then there was a point in time, and I actually can't remember if it was in Victoria at a session we were doing or it was in Vancouver, but I remember you and I in a break talking about it. Yeah. But what got you to that point? Because there is a point, you know, everyone thinks about coaching and they have a different, you know, everyone has a different view of what coaching is, whether it's a cost or an investment.
Yeah.
But there was a point in time where you went, yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. What was that? Where were you?
That's a great question. I don't know that I have an honest answer to that. I don't know that I remember kind of emotionally or kind of my state at that point in time. What I do remember is knowing that I needed and wanted a coach. I knew that I wanted it to be you. And I knew that I so needed funny. For you to see that I had learning potential before I kind of said, hey, would you coach me? I can remember actually being pretty cagey about the way that I wanted these conversations to play out. And so I can remember kind of going to some seminars and some things that some lecture series that you were doing and very explicitly making sure that you saw the way that I operated or that, you know, essentially I was coachable and that I was a worthwhile investment.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. Where were you in your company? Like, where were you in your company at that time? Because, you know, you definitely, a lot of people don't have that plan. You know, it's more of a serendipitous journey. Yeah. They're like, I'm going to read this book. Oh, I'm going to go listen to this thought leader. Oh, I'm going to, you know what I mean? But I, you know, you're very, I know how methodical you are and, you know, you plan things out. And, but where did that come from? Because a lot of people don't have that.
You know, I think it might have been we did some decent work, right? Like 2002 when I became, so 2002 is when I entered the company. I think I became general manager by 2005 and we had to do a whole bunch of, we had to let go of a whole bunch of people. We had to kind of downsize from, we were maybe 30 when I joined as general manager. I took us down to 10, like a significant reduction and kind of refocusing. And kind of went through that and survived and then kind of figured out what the market pain was or what we could do that would address customers' primary pain. Launched a product, felt really good about that, got lots of interest and lots of excitement, and then walked straight into like annual growth of 6% per year, which was super disappointing, right? We had all these really excited customers about, you're doing exactly what we need and da-da-da-da-da. We didn't fully think through the adoption process and the product life cycle. And so I think part of it was probably that there had been all this, we'd walked through the fires of hell in terms of downsizing. We'd found the right product idea. We'd actually engineered that product and gotten it to market to all this excitement.
Yep.
And then nothing. And I think that was probably, you know, heavy where we were in this 2010 to 2012 right. The hope and excitement begins to evaporate after all this hard work. And you're like, oh man. And then I think that was probably a key part of the recipe for me recognizing that, hey, This is not a unique problem. People have gone through this before. I need help.
Yeah. So, you know, we've known one another for quite some time. When I think back to, you know, any of the sessions I was doing at Ace Tech, you know, the very first time, it's been at least 10 years of, you know, sort of learning together, right? Mm-hmm. Growing together, because you definitely have a really good handle on the, you know, thinking of all the different systems in business and the aspects of business. But when you started out, maybe share with, there's stages that you go through, mm-hmm. right? We continuously go through stages, and yeah. those stages are driven by, you know, our team and driven by our strategy. And we have team and strategy, you know, going well. We normally can get everything else you know, going behind it. I mean, that sounds so simple, honestly, but it's not, we know it's not that simple. But talk about in the first year, you know, like, it's a progression, right? So this is a progression as we work in Metronomics, and it wasn't even called Metronomics when we were working, and no one really knew what it was called. It had a little bit of a lot of things, but there was systems in there, and we had our house diagram of the six systems, and you know, we were working the systems each and every quarter. But talk a little bit about some of the struggles that, you know, you went through in the beginning of actually implementing this. Like, I can think of a couple of big ones myself, but I love your perspective because you have a much, like a much more detailed perspective. Yeah.
So some vignettes maybe along the way. At the beginning, it was all about get the right people on the bus, right? Make sure that you've got the right people in the right seats. And this was new, right? This was, you know, this was a manufacturing business. We have assembly technicians working on the line. Really?
Yeah.
To be the right people. Like, this was kind of revolutionary. And so I can remember maybe being a little bit skeptical at the start, and then kind of as it unwraps, realizing, yeah, indeed, everybody has to be a fit, and this is all about values and what have you. Lots of work and some wins and some fails and kind of some revolutions there, kind of round and round and round. I remember, I can so clearly recall a moment where we said, right, we're going to do all team huddles. And the resistance to this idea of having to share and be in a room together was so strong that we had employees that refused to walk into the meeting room.
Yes,
they actually refused to be physically present in the room as we began to do these daily huddles. That memory is super strong in me, and the realization that in that moment I needed to provoke almost a crisis. you, Bob, can make your decision as to whether you wish to be part of this or to do this kind of in real time in public, and being super uncomfortable with it, but knowing that I had to do it. And And so that was like the number one vignette on the people side, where it was like, oh my God, really? This is what I have to do? And understanding that, yes, that indeed was what I had to do.
Difficult and uncomfortable.
Yeah. So that was, I think, the whole starting piece was the recognition that really everything that had to be done was massive discomfort for me personally, and having to think of that, right? And you talk about learning. That was huge, huge learning.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I think, so we kind of got that going and started to understand that, yes, indeed, it was all about people, and that these values were important, and how do we select the right people for the values, and how do we step into the uncomfortable conversations and make these values alive, because in so many organizations, you know, they're posters. And and kudos to the team we have now. I think we have a system here where the values are uber present, right? Like they really are alive, not just in myself and my leadership team, but throughout the organization.
Yeah, I can attest to that, having been in your organization and interacting with your team. And, you know, I was curious to know if you know, I think of some of the big ones that, you know, in this journey, right? And through the stages, right? When we're building the foundation, right? It's about people. Yeah. That's a tough one in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's a really tough one. And not, you know, not only for you, but for everyone. That's a tough one. And then, you know, we're mapping out the strategy, right? In pictures.
Yeah.
And it's iterative, and it's not going to be perfect, right? Yeah. That's a tough one, right?
Yeah. So that was interesting, because we kind of got this people thing. It was nowhere near perfect, but it was starting to move. And
yeah.
starting to get some traction and excitement and people that wanted to be there, people that wanted to contribute. And so we moved then to kind of a strategic focus. You talk about metronomics and doing things in balance.
Yes.
We didn't have that balance in those early days, or you know, AML was, it was kind of like, we're all in on this and now we're all in on that.
You're trying to get a little bit of both,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so a huge shift in focus to strategy, and what's the strategy that is going to trampoline us from where we are today?
Yeah.
And I think there's one that if I could go back in time, I think we spent a lot of time on strategy without building the fundamentals to allow us to financially afford the implementation of that strategy.
I remember that.
Right. We should have spent more time worrying about, and this is, you know,
hindsight,
right? Is always
it's like, but, great.
Yeah. But probably should have gone from culture to kind of focusing primarily on execution before we got to strategy.
Yeah.
But how do we build an economic engine here that can afford the strategic moves that we want to make?
And, you know, I think the hindsight's really important because, you know, for anyone who hasn't, you know, gone on the metronomics journey yet, for people who have been on the metronomics journey can really relate to the things, because when we come in as CEOs, even myself, when we were developing this back in the day, it was so like, boom, we need to solve this. We need to solve that. And the one thing, we can skip steps. And we know in the foundation phase, and, you know, we've been working together for, you know, if I take from the very beginning when we met, it's about 10 years ago, right? All the way through. But thinking about, like, there are still, you know, things in the fundamental, in the foundation stage that AML, you and the team are getting better at, right? We're still turning the dial. We have a better understanding. And the more of the context you have to this, the more you actually connect it and go, oh, and I think you've been fantastic at doing that. Even, you know, your summer reading this summer, you know, going back to the fundamentals of, you know, Jim Collins from, you know, Beyond Entrepreneurship 2.0. I want to say it again, good to great, right? Yeah. And just going back to those fundamentals, as a CEO, I read those every year.
Yeah.
Like every year you read them because you're in a different place. And I think
that's
the journey that we've been on. The one vignette that I was thinking of that was really like, it was in front of the whole team. It was foundational to where the strength of your soft systems are today, the cultural system, the cohesiveness, and the human system. Was we had spent, you know, we were working through this and we'd spent some time really looking at the core values, the team core values.
Yeah.
And we, you know, as a leadership team and together, we went out, we went through the process, and then, you know, they've already been implemented and shared and all that. But I was there that day and I was with the whole team and we were doing a lunch and learn. And we, you know, I did the typical round and we very interactive. And we left that day, like, you know, we left that lunch and learn and we went back into our session with the leadership team. And it was just like, you know, sort of stop everything. The comment was like, oh, I don't think those values are alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was like devastating for everyone. We're quite a few years in and it is devastating. Like, I know the rest of the afternoon we stopped, we figured out what was the plan we were going to do to cascade this throughout the organization, to get everybody's feedback, to bring it back in.
Yeah.
Right. And I can remember.
It was scary for me because I think the decision we took was, hey, at this stage, this shouldn't be driven by you. Right.
Yes.
It was like, you've got to let go a little and allow the leadership team to drive the process. And it
was amazing. Right. Amazing that, because that's part of the transition too, right? There's in the stages, you know, in the beginning, as a coach, I know I'm driving a lot of it to get the leaders through it. Mm-hmm. And then that was like a TSN turning point, a good Canadian TSN turning point for the leadership team. Like why it stands out for me, because not only did you own it, the leadership team owned it.
Yeah.
And I remember we went to a growth summit after that, and we were with a whole bunch of other companies who were, you know, using the system. And your team, you didn't get up. Your team got up and told the story, right, of the ownership and what happened and what they did. And that's the result of the culture you have today in the organization, right? And, you know, that wouldn't have gone so well, honestly, if you didn't have the right leaders in place at that time, right? Yeah. So that progression is right leaders, right? And then we can cascade it out, let the leaders cascade that out into the organization. Yeah. What are some of the other big, you know, sort of things that stand out on the journey? Because, you know, that one stands out for me. And, you know, I know the people one, the strategy one, right? And we're looking, even I think over the last 3 years in the pandemic, pretty focused, as most of my clients were, on cash and execution and supply chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The whole execution piece. I mean, you talk a lot about good enough in a certain area and managing. So good enough. Are we good enough?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Are we good enough? And then this idea of the balance and the systems. It's so easy to say, and yet it's so complicated to strike that right balance. And so, for example, coming through the pandemic, you mentioned the pandemic, we reacted quickly and strongly, as we should have, to the pandemic. We actually ended up having a fantastic year, surprisingly. We went through the pandemic. And then the follow-on year was, I think, like many other organizations, not so great.
Yeah.
And so realized that, you know, hey, there's some executional pieces here that we're missing. We need to focus on execution. And this whole past year has been about bettering execution. We walked into the year knowing that and being clear on that and understanding that. And yet, even with that clarity of understanding and even with the foresight and the foreknowledge that a focus on execution was going to have an impact, the lack of attention to some of the other systems, even at a nominal level, has had a huge, like, we're so out of kilter, right? And really, this idea of balance, I think, is so incredibly powerful and needs to be emphasized and reemphasized.
And it's
because even as we're focusing on what we think is most important, execution, we've managed to put ourselves out of balance. Even though we know that balance is important. So we're aware of the criticality of this balance, and we've managed to put ourselves out of balance.
Yeah, I think of it, you know, as a coach, right? Because I'm always looking for what's the next thing we got to pull up? What's this? When's the right time, right? Yeah. To pull it up and to keep moving forward. And I think of it like, you know, the balance boards, right? They have a half of a ball, and then it's and you're constantly, when you first get on it, you're like, wah,
wah.
Like, that's what I feel like when I'm working with a new organization. Yeah. And we definitely had some results of that. And then I feel like it's a little bit less, and a little bit less, and a little bit less. I feel like that's what I'm coaching in with that company.
Yeah.
And I find, though, and this is, you know, this is true across, I'd say, all my clients, and other coaches see this too, is that the more aware you get of the systems that exist in your organization, the more aware you are, you feel like you're really out of balance, right? Yeah. The more aware you get, like in the beginning, you are making bigger shifts. Like I can say that from my bigger shifts. And sometimes they're needed to just, you know, because there's certain things, there's a critical path through the foundation that we've got to get, right? So, we're making those. And as a coach, we're trying to keep the other one like up, right? And then they become more and more. But the more you know, the harder you are. And I've seen that in the way that your team evaluates, you know, how well they're doing in the system. I mean, when I think back to where you started and where you are today, I mean, one of the most knowledgeable teams I know around the systems and your time you've taken to learn, right? All the background.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I wanted to ask you, there's been different times, I think, through this journey where you've got to a certain point and you're like, I think we're pretty good. We're doing good, right?
Yeah.
Right. You know, even in the beginning, right? It was like, we're good. But when we look back on it now, we go, oh, because we have more context, right? But talk a little bit about that, because that's part of, you know, keeping momentum too.
Yeah. Yeah. You just start to realize that there's so much you don't know, right? Like you step in, you get a little bit of success, you kind of win a battle and you get a little cocky. Right. And then the nuance, the resolution that you're talking about in that balance board, you start to realize there's so much going on here. So much going on. These are complicated systems. This is trying to systematize something that is, this is complicated. It's like a cryptic, it's like a cryptic crossword, you know, and I'm trying to kind of riddle your way through all this stuff. I think we've done a good job at a couple of things. I think we've done a good job of being disciplined, right? I think I'm a disciplined,
my favorite word.
Yeah, I'm a disciplined person. That's helped. I think my leaders are disciplined around not just initially their willingness to adhere to a rhythm, right? And so that was good. And to build on that rhythm and add to that rhythm. And then, you know, that becomes the trampoline or the launch pad, if you will, for the development of the discipline. And then you kind of add to that. So I think that's been a real foundational piece. I think this would probably be a lot more difficult for leaders or for teams that didn't want to hew to discipline quite as strongly as we do.
Like
I would think that would be more challenging. So I think that's one of the underlying maybe ingredients to our success with all of this is we want to be disciplined, right? We are, and we enjoy it. We like that. That's a key piece. I think this learning idea, this idea that, hey, all these problems are solved and other people have done this, and why would we try to invent it? I don't think there's any need at AML to put our own stamp on things.
Right.
Like, so, hey, we,
this yeah. is, I was know, looking for somebody else's.
Like, just grab what is, right?
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I've ever done that sort of says the AML way is taking these systems and summarizing them in a way that the team can understand kind of what the key pieces are from their perspective. So I have a slide that I present all the time called the AML way.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Which is awesome because it makes it yours, right?
Yeah.
And then it puts it in your words and your pictures, and we know the team remembers that.
Yeah, and it ties a little more tightly to their experience, right? This is what we do at AML. Yeah. So I think the discipline, I think the willingness to kind of just grab and not have to have it be ours.
Describe, because I've observed, but describe the team journey through this, as well as your transformation through this, from when you started to where you are now. Because your role in the beginning was very different and a lot. It's a lot, right? Yeah. To what it is, not saying it's not a lot now, but it's different now.
Yeah.
And that's really key to the sort of the benefits of implementing a repeatable system like this.
Yeah. So I think if we dial back to that sort of 2011, 2012 timeframe, very tactical, very involved in day-to-day operations.
Yeah,
Highly involved in most key decisions, key decisions and less, like and more detailed. So highly involved in almost all the decisions kind of going on at AML.
Yeah.
So one transition is kind of contrast that with today, where really from an operational perspective, I have nothing to do. Like there's no area or decision that would be made at the operational level that involves me. That's kind of cool. So I'm out of operations and then initially kind of moving into strategy. So as I pick up the operations piece, I pick up the strategy piece and kind of lead that conversation and sort of try to move us forward. I guess I call it strategy, but really it's more time frame. It's kind of the future focus. So it might be strategy. It might be human system. It might be a lot of forecasting and building systems allow us to look out 3 years and understand what the impact of that strategy might be. And then another transition comes where even those involvement in those systems that are not day-to-day, I've kind of stepped out of that and kind of gotten my leaders to take responsibility for those pieces. And that kind of came at the same time as I tried to work on myself and become more of a coach, right? And less about, hey, this is what we need to do. And kind of really more focusing on asking questions and kind of helping them understand the reality so that they will make the right decision.
I love that.
Right. I'm not there yet. That's there's lots of work to do yet.
Yeah. And we all have lots of work to do always, but that's a good sum up, you know, for people listening in. AML, Robert and team have been doing this for 8+, 9+, you know, introduced to it probably 10 years ago. It wasn't even called Metronomics. Yeah. And what I love about, you know, what I've observed, I think you've picked it up quite nicely in the beginning. You're in the game. You're in the whirlwind. You are on it. You want to get out of the whirlwind. And the only way to get out of the whirlwind is to figure out, how do I share this with my team, right? How do I share it? But you're still in it, and we got to get it done, and we got to get execution going and cash going and some kind of strategy mapped. We got to get the right people. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Hence, like the balance board, right? Back and forth. Yeah. And then when I observe now, like, you're in that coach mode, you are the keeper of the system. The discipline system, you know, your main role is looking out and forward, working on the business, which, you know, is near and dear to my heart that you have time to do that. Yeah. And then, you know, we're bringing our leaders up, you know, we need to bring our leaders to there and so forth. So when I see the transition, it's going from a day-to-day in the weeds leader, making all the decisions, to making very few, you know, operate like zero operational. Yeah. And working with the team to come up with our strategic and really making sure the system, that's the difference that I've seen.
Yeah.
Right? A huge difference.
And I think struggle. I'm still very aware of the balance between, so it's kind of like, how much consensus and support do we need? Like, how much can I drive some of these future pieces? How much do I have to back off and allow others to feel that they've built them themselves? What's the trade-off on speed? You know, all these kind of the little balance of all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's
different things for moments, right? Some things is just like, we got to move fast here. So
yeah,
I'm gonna step in and push hard. Other things, it's like, no, this can slow.
Boil. No, you can take the opportunity to grow it up. Yeah. Right. And sometimes it's like pandemic, lots of leaders had to shift gears quickly and go, leadership team, let's go. Let's work together. We got to go this way. We got to take care of cash, get execution, people, all that. I mean, that was huge. And that focus, you know, I think of the focus of year one of all my clients of the pandemic, all had record years, but one. Yeah. And one was in the hospitality industry. So, you know, that was a tough one, a really tough one. Let's do a speed round to close this out. So sort of, you know, like some of these questions are not speed round questions, but in your quick answers. So in the early days of AML, you bought it, you take it over, even of working with me, you know, give me a one or two word answer on what was your biggest fear?
I'm not good enough.
Okay. What should every business leader stop doing?
Stop.
Yeah. Stop.
They stop doing, avoiding discomfort. They should search for the discomfort. Look for the things they don't want to do or they're scared of doing and actually step towards them.
Is that your start too? What should they start doing?
Rhythm. Adhere to a rhythm. Same thing. And you know, you can take this too far. You can overprogram it, but the team will super appreciate knowing that there is a rhythm that we adhere to.
Yeah. Yeah. And how about two more questions? One piece of tech or software that's made your working life easier, more efficient, that you rave about?
A whole bunch of stuff I could say, but I this is going to sound like this is a paid for announcement, but I really am a fan of the Metronome software. Right.
That's awesome. I wasn't even thinking that.
There's nothing else in the space that kind of allows you to bring the level of, it's like a, this is going to sound really stupid. it's like a platform for discipline. You could market this as a BDSM tool or something like that. But it's like, it's something that allows you to ingrain rhythm and discipline in a team. And that's so important. And there's nobody else in the space.
Okay. I love that. I wasn't even thinking that. So that's really nice. What's your favorite business book? The one of all time, the one that you like the most, one you read all the time.
Yeah. So both of my kids have found a copy of Good to Great under the Christmas tree with.
Love it.
And you need to read this chapter and think about this.
So good. I've read that double digits. It's again. One of my all time.
One of the things I love doing with that book particularly is I buy new copies all the time, new hard copies. Yeah. And every time I read it, I make notes in the book itself. And it's so much fun to go back through 6 or 7 physical copies and go, oh, this is what I was thinking in 2015. Yeah. This is where I was at in 2017. It's like a view.
Because it's a progression of your mindset. Yeah. Of business. Yeah. And that's fundamental.
Yeah.
And the foundation. Oh, I love that. So if you had to give one piece of advice to other CEOs who are finding themselves, you know, stuck in the whirlwind, what would be the first thing you would recommend them to do?
First thing for somebody who's like stuck and in the whirlwind, this maybe sounds a bit esoteric, but Take the time to understand that you don't have to be there, right? Like I think the first thing is to convince yourself or to fully engage with the idea that this whirlwind is of my own creation.
Yeah.
There is an alternate reality that I can choose to step into if I'm willing to make the investment in energy and time and discipline and all the things that it requires. It's not easy, right? It's not just going
to have the energy
going to happen, or it's not just going to, you know, so it's difficult, but it's possible. And the first question is, do you want it bad enough?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. Do you want it bad enough?
Yeah.
Cause that's the key.
Yeah.
I ask people all the time, what outcome do you want? And do you have the energy?
Yeah.
And they, do you have the energy? Are you ready to do it? Because we're going to do it. If we're going to, if we're going, we're going to do it.
Yeah. And I think people underestimate the level of person. This idea of stepping into the unknown and stepping into your fears and doing the things that scare you, that's what this is all about, right? And you've got to be committed.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I love this discussion. I know we could talk for hours longer, and there's so much more that I know we could talk about, but what you've provided, you know, and just even from my observation from the other side, it's just the view of the stages that we go through. And you've been incredible to work with, you and your team. And we've learned a lot together. And I know we'll continue to learn a lot together, right? And we've had a lot of fun and laughs.
That's a key ingredient, right? Is finding somebody that you can learn with and have fun and laughs along the way. Keeps it fresh.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Awesome.
Tip Top is brought to you by Metronomics. To find out more about Metronomics and how this 20-plus-year-old proven system will save you time and money as you grow up your business, visit metronomics.com. That's metronomics.com. Also, search for Metronomics in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.